Hi folks, this is Itamar Sinherjko. I'm in the PMC Project Management Committee of Lucene.net, and we are quite excited to be releasing Lucene.net 4.8 very, very soon. I'm here at the Channel 9 Studios in Washington, in the Microsoft campus, and they've been kind enough to let me record a short introduction video that we can share with you to show you how Lucene.net, what is Lucene.net, how it's going to look like, and how you can use it right now. So I have this demo here. I'll show it to you in a second. This is going to be a very quite fast-paced demo, full of code. All of the code is currently already on GitHub, and I'll show you the link in a second. Feel free to reach out to us on the Lucene.net mailing list, which we'll share the link with along with the video, and let us know how it works for you. And we'll be hopefully be releasing this version quite soon. So this is the project. You can get it from this repository, which is under my account on GitHub. And currently, all the pieces that I'm going to show you are released under our MyGit feed. They are being pushed automatically by our build server. We will be pushing them to NuGet, to the official NuGet website, once everything is stabilized. Right now, we are considering this as a beta version. It is saved for production use, but we just want to be extra careful, and we will be releasing them officially, as I said, very, very soon. So what is Lucene.net? Lucene.net is essentially a search engine library. It lets you take data, index it, and then search on it. What is data? It can be quite about anything. Usually, Lucene is being used on texts, to search on text, like think Wikipedia or any data that is internal to your organization. Lucene is actually a Java project, and we've been porting it to .NET, so you can use it from your .NET applications. You may know Lucene from Elasticsearch or Solr, which are essentially server wrappers around the Java Lucene project. And we are porting it to .NET, so you can use it from quite about any application, server-side, desktop, or even mobile. There are some good news that we will be able to share quite soon. For example, .NET Core support, and maybe even good support on mobile devices. But this is not what we are going to talk about today. So let's talk about Lucene and how to use it. So for the purpose of this demo, created this console application, which you can see here. I will walk you through this application, and basically we are currently looking at the program.cs file. So this console application, you can see that I already have stuff on it, and basically I will allow you to search within the index, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. But the purpose of this application is to allow you to search on GitHub repositories, public GitHub repositories hosted on GitHub by various organizations. Think, for example, Microsoft, Facebook, GitHub themselves, maybe Apache, all the public repositories, all the open source projects that are hosted on GitHub. We will be indexing them and demoing search on that. And this is the purpose of this demo. Before we start, we do need to add Lucene.net to our application. So, as I said, Lucene.net is currently available on a MyGit feed, meaning it is a NuGet feed, but it is hosted on MyGit. Go to this URL, which we will share with the video, and you'll have instructions on how to add the source to your Visual Studio, your NuGet development environment. So all you have to do once you've done that is pick the Lucene.net on MyGit source, and then install package of Lucene.net. It will go to MyGit, it will grab the latest version, currently 4.8, and a beta version, which is version 6.9.7. And now I have Lucene.net installed. Lucene.net is actually, we have like the core project, and then we have sub-projects, which are very important. We are going to touch and use a couple of them today, but you will need to install them separately. So let's do just that. So install package Lucene.net and then the sub-projects. One of them is analysis common. Now, that package contains a lot of analyzers. We'll discuss them in a bit. We also have a query parser package, which is also important, and we will use it today. And we have a couple more, but let's just continue for now. So once we've installed that, we can create an index, and we can start putting data in the index. Now, you will notice in this beginning of this application, we have created a GitHub index, which is, in fact, not a Lucene thing. It's just a code that we created. It will allow us to interface with the GitHub API to pull data from them and to index that. We'll touch that in a minute. But more importantly, we need to create a directory for the index to reside in. We need to have an index to work on, and we have multiple directory implementations. One is a memory directory, but for this purpose, for the purposes of this demo, we will be using FS directory, meaning file system directory. We'll actually be indexing to disk, to the file system. Now, once I've created this directory, as you can see, fsdirectory.open and the path, we have created a directory index, an index directory instance, and now we can work on top of it. So this GitHub index class is going to wrap this index directory and allow us to do operations on it using some Lucene.NET concepts, which we will now see. Once we run it, it will look something like that. We'll tell you hello and then ask you what you want to do now. So I've just added a D option. We can search on the index. We can index new GitHub organizations, and I'll show you the code to do that in a minute. I just added a new option, which will allow us to interface and just I'll be able to demonstrate the basic concepts to you. So let's do that. So the GitHub index instance is called GHY. Let's just create a channel 9 demo method just to show you how we even start doing things. So as you will see, this class here contains quite a few of Lucene.NET objects, and I will walk you through them one by one. The first one we'll start with is an index writer. In order to be able to index into a directory, which, as you've seen, we already created, we do need to have some index writer that can write into that directory. So index writer is exactly this thing that we need in this stage. So because I've initialized it, and you can see that the constructor over here accepts the directory instance, which we initialized before. And we now initialize the index writer along with the directory itself, meaning the index writer is going to point at that directory, and some configuration options. So we are on the process of moving this and making that Lucene version optional, but you will also passing an analyzer, which I will discuss in a minute. So once I initialize that, and that's in the class constructor, now I can go and use it. So index writer dot add document. Lucene talks in the concepts of documents. You index a document, and that document is going to contain data, and that data is going to be in fields. So think about it like a newspaper. You have a newspaper which contains many documents. Each article is a document. Then every article, every document, has several fields. For example, the title, or the author name, or the actual content of the article. So a document is several fields, and then every field has its content. So what I'm going to do now is basically create a document. And that document will need to contain several fields. So we have fields, but as you will see, we have multiple types of fields. So we have a text field, we have a string field. There is a difference between the two, and I'll discuss it in just a few minutes. You obviously have a numeric field, and that's all of those are important to index different data types correctly. So let's just go ahead with a string field. And that string field, we'll have to give it a name, so let's call it name. And we'll need to provide some sort of a value. That value is going to be, for example, foo. Now, whenever I index data, it only goes to the index as index data. I will be able to search on it, but when I get back the results, I'm not necessarily going to be able to read that data. In order to read that data, I will need to specify store yes, meaning I will both index the data that I just passed in, meaning this value, but I will also store it, so when I search, I get back the field and I can read it, its content. And that's quite an important thing to do. So once I've created a document, and within that document I could put as many fields as I want. So let's do another text field, and let's call this a description, for example, and then give it some other value. Doesn't really matter. And for the purpose of this, let's assume this field is going to be a very big one, and I'm not going to read on it, just to search on it, so I can put a store no. And basically, once I created a document with all those fields, I'm passing it to the addocument method of IndexWriter. And once I've done that, I've indexed a document. And once you've indexed, you'll be able to search on that. So let's do that. Let's try it. And let's just hope nothing crashes, as usually things happen. So I've just done that. And once I clicked D, my method got called. Now, if I will go to the, if you remember, we opened the FS directory, so I have a file system directory in this location. So if I'll go to that location, you'll see that a new folder was created. And that folder now contains many types of many files. It's very Lucene specific. I will not go into the specifics, but basically all of those files are defining an index. And that index is going to be searchable now. So I created the index. You see it's not empty, by the way. You see it does have some weight. And we will go ahead now. Let's just delete it. And let's go ahead and just use this application to index GitHub data. So we talked about the IndexWriter. I showed you the concepts of a document and of fields. And IndexWriter, I showed you how to use IndexWriter for that. And this data is going to be indexed and now made searchable. Now, let's look at our code for indexing data from GitHub. Now, obviously, it has lots of specifics, and I will just skip over the non-important stuff. But what you do need to know is that we are querying the GitHub API using, I initialized that in the constructor. We are querying the repository API and asking to get all the public repositories for an organization by name. For example, Microsoft, Apache, GitHub, all of those organizations on GitHub. So we will just type a name of an organization and get back all the public repositories back. Now, for each repository that we'll get, we will have some data that we can index. So every repository obviously has a name. We also have a URL for it. In this case, that's the URL on the GitHub API. So it's the URL for the repository on GitHub API, as you'll see in a minute. We have the description. And to make things a bit interesting, I also went ahead and fetched the README, HTML, basically, of the repository. So if it exists, we will get the README HTML and be able to index it. So let's do that. So I'm going to index an organization. So let's index all the public repositories of Microsoft. So we are making a GitHub API call right now. And hopefully we'll see green text in a second. Yes. So I'm indexing repositories. So that's the name of the repository, and that's the the URL of the repository on the GitHub API. That's going to take a while. There's quite a few repositories. It's not because of the Lucene.NET performance. It's because we're doing many network calls. Remember the README fetch line here. And Lucene.NET is actually quite fast at indexing. And let's talk a bit about what we are doing here in code. So I've created a string field. And a string field is, in fact, a untokenized text field, meaning whatever value I put here, I will index as is. In contrast, a text field assumes it's a full text search enabled field, meaning it's an actual text field that I want to tokenize and then search on words within that text field. So everything that I put in a Lucene index is searchable, meaning I can search by URL, but that URL is going to be as is. What data that I put within the field is going to be searchable in exactly that same way. In contrast, name, description, readme, owner, all those fields are taking this string value from the API, basically, from the GitHub API that we're just calling right now, and they are going to be tokenized and analyzed and basically be broken apart into words, or we basically call them terms, because a term can be a number or any kind of string, basically, that may be meaningful in some ways. So we are going to index individual tokens out of a big text field, or potentially big text field. So that's what you're seeing here. So we are. I am going to store all the fields that I know that I want to display or want to read when I do search results. So that's URL, that's name, description. I don't care about the README HTML, so I just put a no on that. It will still be searchable, but I will not be able to show it back. And then the owner name. Obviously, GitHub repositories API give us quite a lot of data, but nothing more than that is interesting for me at this point. Now, we talked before about being able to add a document. So I just created a document, and I can pass it to IndexWriter and tell it to add that document to the index, just like we did before. But this time, this is not what I'm going to do. Because if I re-index, if I index documents again, for example, I will call this API again and index all the repositories by Microsoft again, I will need to be able to not duplicate content, because documents do not have IDs over in Lucene. We just index documents, and then when we search it back, we get back the documents. There are some internal IDs, but all the ID management is all up to the user. This is why we need to be able to update documents on our own. So we need to define what an ID is, and in this case, I can issue a query, or I can tell Lucene, this is how you identify a document that is basically the old version of the document that I'm currently indexing. And then when you call up the document, the document or documents that are going to match this term will be replaced by this new document I just created. Now, here's the thing. Because I'm looking on a term on the field URL, on the URL field, and URL field is a string field, this is why this is going to be an exact lookup by URL. So what I just did is basically I asked Lucene.net to update any document to by ID without saying the words by ID in any API. One thing that is important to know about Lucene.net, update document is in fact just syntactic sugar on top of delete and add. There is no such thing as updating something in Lucene. It will basically go erase the documents that match this query or the documents that contain this term, and will then index this document after. So that's one thing to remember. Once we've done that, obviously we will output some data, change back the color because it's so important, and then we will flush and commit. Now, whenever you call a document or update document, doesn't really matter, on Lucene, nothing really happens. So you will index into the index writer. The index writer is occasionally going to flush that things that it did into the directory instance, but nothing will really happen, or nothing will really be committed to disk until you call commit. So what I did here, basically, flush is being called automatically, but what I did here is I asked Lucene to also do a merge, meaning expunge deletes is this one, but I also asked it to make sure that the segments of the index are merged. We're not going to go into that, but that's just some sort of an optimization that's I usually do after I'm indexing quite a lot of data. So I called Flash, asking to expand deletes and asking for a segments merge, and then I committed the changes to disk. In the meantime, our nice demo application was able to index 1127 repositories on Microsoft. Just for comparison, let's do something else. Let's just index, you know, all of the Facebook public repositories. And this time, I can tell you it's about 10% of what we just indexed for Microsoft. We can add a couple more, but the what I want to show you is just we can index many, many public repositories right now and then search on them. Let's see how search works. Once this completes, we will issue a search. So I do know of a couple of repositories that are on Microsoft, for example, Chakra. So I searched for Chakra, and I found several results. Now you can see a couple of obvious results, for example, Chakra samples and Chakra core, which this one has Chakra in the repository name. This one has Chakra in the description. However, some are less obvious, like this last example. I assume, I didn't check it, but I assume we have the word Chakra somewhere in the README HTML that we, as you remember, we also indexed. So whenever we call search, we just initialize some sort of an array of results that we're going to return back, and then we need to have a query. Now, I'll discuss the query parser in a minute, but basically we use the query parser bits to get a query. If you look at the type, you'll see that's a lucene.net.search.query object. We have many query objects. I will not go into details about this now, but basically you have quite a lot of options to perform full text search or even more kind of types of search, even geospatial searches with Lucene. And that's a very nice way of accessing that. However, let's look at the search API. So we are using a new construct in Lucene 4.8. For those of you coming from Lucene 3, Lucene.NET 3, or maybe older versions of Java Lucene, in order to enable a near real-time search. So whenever your index gets updated, you can search on the new data using your index reader and your index searcher. That's just implementation details under the hood. We have simplified that in Lucene.NET 4.8, and now all you have to do is use the searcher manager. Searcher manager takes care of the searcher objects. It will make sure to refresh them using the writer. So when we initialize this code, let's go to the constructor, you'll see that I gave it the new searcher manager instance has the index writer instance, and that's the exactly same instance that I used for indexing. So the searcher manager is aware of my index writer, and whenever I'm doing any change to the index, it will know how to get the latest reader from the writer. We call that reopen. Now, that's already all handled for you. So all you have to do is just pass a lambda that accepts a searcher and executes the query on the index. And this is exactly what you see here. So searcher.search, and I used one way. There's a couple of ways of doing that, using collectors and more, but I just went with the simplest approach. You need to pass a query object, and that query object, and obviously a number of results to return, and that query object is then going to be executed on the index, and then you will get back the results. The results are going to be scored. So Lucene.NET, one of the features of Lucene in general is to be able to sort results. You will get the most relevant result first, and then followed by less still relevant, but less relevant results. Now, result scoring is something that's really, really, really important and is one of the best features that Lucene.NET has. So I got back topdocs, which is a wrapper object that will contain the array of documents. It will also contain the number of total hits, which I'm returning back to the caller as well. I'm iterating through each result. And then, because what I get here is just an internal document number from Lucene.NET, I will need to load this document. Now, remember when we've seen this store yes, store no option when indexing. That's exactly why we did it, because now I want to load this document and I want to look at the stored fields. And this is how it's done. I'm loading the document using the searcher, so searcher.doc. I will see the exactly same document that the searcher saw when it searched. So they're both kept in sync, even if the index changed in the meantime. And then I'm going to get a field by name. So a search result object, which I'm creating here, is going to read the name object from the name value from the value from the name field, description, the value from the field called description, etc., etc. Now, if you remember, the URL was a string field, the description was a text field. It doesn't really matter in this context because both are, in this context, stored fields. We just read their context, and that's kept separately from the index itself. It's maintained by Lucene.net in the same index, but it's not in the inverted index, which is being used for search. Now, we're reading the string value. We can store data that is not only string. For example, numeric values and binary values. That could be useful, but usually you'll be using string values or numeric values if you index numerics and you're performing range searches on numerics. All right, so this is the code that does search. It's very simple. There's only two things left to explain here. So one, what is a query? How do I transform this string into a query object? And what are the query objects that I have? So query parser basically allows me to avoid that, avoid this this added work to do. You can just pass it a string. And that string is going to be processed, and the query parser will know to handle query operators, pretty much like you used to from Google. So for example, Chakra, so I know that Chakra and Engine are mentioned here and here, but are not mentioned somewhere else. So let's just do Chakra and Engine, and you'll see I just filtered two results out. So I can actually type in a sophisticated query language. And that query language is going to be interpolated by the query parser object over here. And it will return a Lucene object. Now, a Lucene query object can actually be, we have quite a few of them. You can create the term object on your own. So for example, var key 1 equals new term query, and that will ask you for a term object, and a term object will expect a string, a field name and the value. So for example, I could have done name and chakra and then search on that, and it will bring me back results. But you know, if I wanted to create a sophisticated query on my own, that's going to be quite a lot of boilerplate code. The query parser here helps me avoid that. You just pass it a query string in the Lucene syntax, which basically looks like that, and it will look quite familiar to you because you're using Google and search engines. And you just pass it to the query parser, and it creates a query object for you. Now, what are those terms, and how we can use them? You will notice that in the constructor, I created an analyzer. And when I created this analyzer, I passed it both to the index writer and also to the query parser, which I created here. What is it that I did here? And you'll see that I created multiple analyzers to help me do interesting stuff. An analyzer is a Lucene.net concept that defines the way that you take a string and what are the terms that are going to go into the index from that string. So for example, if we have this string, we can have different analyzers treated differently. So for example, Lucene.net has a analyzer that's called the keyword analyzer. The keyword analyzer will output the input string as a term to the index. That's exactly what happens to the URL field in our demo application. So the string field will use a keyword analyzer, essentially, that will take this string and will just output it into the index. And so whenever I search, I have to search for the exact string. And this is exactly what we want to do when we're doing URL searches. Other analyzers can be defined, are defined, and can be defined to do other stuff. For example, an analyzer can tokenize on white spaces or on punctuation marks. So in this case, for example, an input string, hello world, will be translated into two terms. And those two terms are the ones that will go to the index. Notice how there is no lowercase involved. I can ask the analyzer to do additional phase of normalization. So I will get back to lowercase terms. Why do I want to lowercase? Because think about it. If you index something, you don't care about the casing that it was indexed in, and you want to support searches also whether or not the user typed it lowercase or uppercase. This is why you want to do this on index time and also repeat the process on search time. Analyzers let you do exactly that. So Lucene.net has quite a few of analyzers internally. You'll probably see the standard analyzers mentioned quite a bit. We also have more simplified ones like white space analyzers. We have quite a few of them. What I did here is the following. I assume that because we're indexing code, basically, we're going to have things like that. So it's two words, and we will look at it in two words. And as human beings, we'll actually expect to find this result for searches on chakra and chakra and core and chakra core. So we do want to somehow tokenize on case change, for example. Or because, if you remember, I also indexed the README HTML. I also want to be able to strip all the HTML because I don't want the HTML to be found. We can implement analyzers on our own. So you do have analyzers out of the box that you can use. And I could have done just that. But because we want to support searches of many kinds, you can create analyzers on your own. And for the purposes of this demo, I just did that. So for example, we have the repository names analyzers. So I want all the repository names to go through some process, some normalization and tokenization process that is less common maybe, but it's going to be very useful. So for example, I want to tokenize the chakra core example into two words. How do I do that? So every analyzer is assembled of two parts. One is the tokenizer. What is the tokenizer that we are going to use? And then token filters. What I did here is the following. I used the standard tokenizer, which is just it's a tokenizer that uses some Unicode standard to tokenize text based on what is a punctuation mark, what is a white space character, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, don't bother yourself with it. Just use a standard tokenizer unless you have a compelling reason not to. And then a normalization process. So two obvious normalization things that we do here is, one, we are lowercasing. And before we are lowercasing, we are normalizing all characters into ASCII in a process that we call ASCII folding. Again, both are token filters that are available from Lucene.net. It's out of the box. I did something here that is a bit more sophisticated, and again, using a token filter that already exists. I'm using the word delimiter filter. Now, the word delimiter filter is going to do something interesting. It's going to take something like that, XML notepad, and it will identify that it's essentially two words combined by a Pascal case, and then it will tokenize that. It's also suitable for model names, for example, like WS500. So it will realize that's WS and 500, and it will allow you to index them together. It's very useful for names and code and e-commerce websites and stuff, things like that. And this is one thing that I did. Another thing that I did is a lot of times keyword searches still need to be lowercase and ASCII folded. So in order to support searches and not fall on the normal pitfalls of uppercasing and ASCII characters and non-ASCII characters in the names and stuff like that. So I added this analyzer as well. And then I also created an analyzer that knows how to strip HTML using an existing analyzer, which is this one, and using a char filter that will filter out characters based on some characteristics. So for example, this char filter that is coming out of the box, again, with Lucene.net, will filter out all HTML tags and then basically clean up the data that you're indexing. So this analyzer, basically what we want to do is to specify an analyzer per field, right? Because every field has its own different way of different type of text and different way of tokenizing it. And that's basically what we're doing here. There is this thing that's called per field analyzer wrapper. And that analyzer is going to accept one default analyzer. So what is the analyzer that, unless I specified something explicitly, use that analyzer? And as you can see, I defined it to be the HTML strip analyzer wrapper that's using a standard analyzer. And the standard analyzer is what you will probably be using in quite about every use case. And then the a dictionary that defines a mapping between a field name and an analyzer to use on it. So for the repository owner, I use the lowercase keyword analyzer. And for the name, I use the repository name analyzer that is going to, again, tokenize on Pascal case and things like that. The same analyzer, I will pass this analyzer to the index writer, because then when indexing, the analyzers will take the text and process it to produce tokens and normalize those tokens and then put them in the index. But those exactly same tokens or exactly the same process have to be generated on query time. This is another reason why you probably want to use a query parser for most use cases, because if you're giving your user the ability to type in a search, you will want the search to be executed using the exact same tokens as would have been produced by the index writer during indexing. So you will pass this analyzer to the query parser. Now, we have about three main query parsers that you're worth knowing about. One is the normal one, just query parser. So varqp, new query parser. That's the query parser, and that's going to be a standard query parser that you can use. And that query parser is going to operate on one field by default, unless, obviously, you specify specific fields. So for example, you can do name.chakra, and that's going to search only on the name field, which is displayed here. I used a multi-field query parser, which takes this query parser and then executes the string by default on multiple fields like that, unless, again, explicitly filtered out or specified by you. So that's two query parsers. Multi-field query parser is using the standard query parser. There is another one, it's called simple query parser. It's a little more simplified, but it will not throw parsing errors, which this query parser may be throwing. All right, so that's about it for today. We discussed indexing, search, Lucene.net concepts, and more. I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. We will be releasing quite shortly, I hope. See you around. Hopefully, hear about your experience in our dev mailing list. Thank you very much. This was Itamar Sineshko, showing you Lucene.net.